Welcome, my brothers and sisters. I got a special episode for you today. Usually on Saturdays, we do conspiracy cinema podcasts, but today we're going to do a special episode on America being Egypt and connecting to the Holy Land and the Sodom and Gomorrah. So before we get going, this episode today is brought to you from Body Align in the Energy Wellness Band, amazing protection. That link is down in the bio and description of the video. Just use promo code Truth Mafia, all one word, and that link is down below. So before we get going, you know, a couple little plugs real quick, guys. We also got on our shop over on truthfultv.com. We have some amazing products that block black magic attacks, psychic attacks, all this negative energy that we're being bombarded with. And you'll see that link down in the description as well. Takes you right to our shop. We also do this little promo over there. If you use promo code Decode the Matrix, all one word, you get an extra 11% off for a reading where we tell if you're a first player character with the soul or one of these soulless NPCs without a soul. And that's just using promo code Decode the Matrix. If you're buying some merchandise, it's promo code SALE17, all capitals. And the dream interpretations are really awesome. I love doing them. They're probably my favorite thing to do. Because I got a dream journal. I write all my dreams down. I've read so many books on dream interpretations. And then the readings, we're going over your life path number, your birth cards, your destiny cards, your gematria. My favorite one that I ever did, believe it or not, and this girl's been following me for a long time. Her name is Christina Shannon. Shout out to her because she had all the 57s, which Law of Attraction's 57. She was a Queen of Hearts. That's her destiny card out of the 52 deck of playing cards. And then her birth card is the Tower card. And she's a life path 7. So the Tower card is the 16th card. 1 + 6 = 7. That you'll see that with first player characters. Their birth card will line up with their life path number. But these little NPCs, it nothing lines up. They're very chaotic. So, you know, that sucks to have to tell someone.
Is there an NPC discount?
Dude, you want to know something, though? The NPCs never message me back. When I say that they're NPC, they never message me back. I think they get so mad at me. And whatever, though, you know. And look, here's Christina Shannon, 57, matching life path 7, supercomputer. That's what we're in. See, the original organic matrix was created by God for us to learn our life lessons and source consciousness and come down in this flesh suit. And then when we were done, we used to remember our past lives, which you look into the Aramaic Bible, they talk about reincarnation. They set up the Council of Nicaea, took that out. The Bible said all numbers are bad, numbers are evil, astrology is evil, and they don't want us to know the true nature of our reality, because once we become aware of it, we can bend and manipulate reality to our will. You know, it's just a ancient form of alchemy. The elites do it every single day on a giant level. So I got some guests. Of course, I got my brother from another mother with me, Paranoid American guys, and he's got some really cool stuff too. Before we get going real quick.
And all American stickers, cryptids, cults, and killers. We got all your favorite conspiracies, all the letters and more on our sticker sheets. Paranoid American stickers, they'll make you smile and snicker. False flags and secret societies, all of these and more on our sticker sheets.
Explore the unique with Paranoid American sticker sheets. Unearth tales of cryptids, cults, and mysteries through each sticker. These won't last long. Get yours now at ParanoidAmerican.com.
Get all American stickers, cryptids, cults, and killers. We got all your your favorite conspiracies. All I've ever been more on a sticker sheets. Paranoid American stickers. They'll make you smile and stickers. False flags and secret societies. All of these and more on a sticker sheets.
What the heck are you waiting for? Discover the extraordinary with Paranoid American Sticker Sheets. From cryptids in the night to cults out of sight, each sticker is a unique find. Get yours now at ParanoidAmerican.com.
Wrote that rap. No, I'm joking. I didn't. Paranoid is a beast with this rap. That's all AI created, right? The rap?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I wrote the lyrics though, because I had to make them catchy, and the AI wasn't doing it justice. But the music, the voices, everything, 100% AI.
Dude, I like it, dude. You got a little bit of a rapper hidden within you with the Paranoid stickers.
Well, you might not know this, but back in the day, I had music. It was on Adult Swim, VH1, MTV. It was in the background of Run's House. If anyone ever watched the show Run's House. And also, there was a show with the exchange student from the 70s show. It was called Yo Mama. And they would go around to different cities in the U.S. And it would be like a rap battle. But instead of a rap battle, they were just like Yo Mama jokes. And I did a bunch of the background music for that.
Dude, so, you always surprise me with stuff. Like, and you say, like, that's a big accomplishment, bro. And you never have told me that. We've been friends for almost 2 years now, so that's
I got a bunch of secrets, man. Yeah, dude. And bum fights too. I don't know if you remember that bum fight series. I worked with them on a bunch of projects.
Did you
shout out to In Decline in Vegas? Donut knows them too, I think, or he knows about them.
Yeah, bum fights was awesome, dude. And I've been stepping up my AI work too. I've been trying to create like a Truth Mafia Stranger Thing inspired image. And I got a few of them. This is one that I created that I kind of liked, but I'm not done yet. You know, I got to figure out the proper. And then with AI, like, right, look what it did to the R. You see the double R.
Yeah, we can tighten that up. If you want to come on to my show soon, dude, the Paranoid Programming one, we can do all that, because this one is so close to being perfect. All you'd have to do, in my opinion, is pop this thing open into Illustrator, and you would do like a vector outline, and with that vector outline you can perfectly fix that R, you can fix the F, and then you can adjust all of the letters together so the kerning looks good.
Cool. Yeah, let's do that, because I like this one a lot. It really reminds me of Stranger Things.
Yeah, you know, that one.
I'm a huge fan of Stranger Things, so I can't help it. Well, today, guys, we got a special guest on. He was one of my first followers, really, when I started doing all this. Dominic, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing okay. How are you, Tommy?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. So we're gonna get into today, guys, talking about was Egypt really here in America. And we know we've been lied to over and over. You know, the victor of war holds the pen to history. So could it be that this was really Egypt? And Dom's got some pretty cool theories on this. Let me put this map up. So what are you thinking with this, Dom?
Well, I'm looking at it as if, again, there's so many stories that kind of tie in that you could almost make your own theory on what you want to believe. But I mean, the evidence is there. It's just been changed. That's what I see when I see this map.
Well, break it down for us. Like, what your theory is. Where was Israel? Talk about Sodom and Gomorrah was, you know what I'm saying, all that stuff.
Okay, well, when Egypt was unified between the north and the southern parts of Egypt, the southern part of Egypt would have actually been inverted and would have been north. So the states of like Kentucky, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, all of that would be considered the southern region of the Holy Land, and parts were the Grand Canyon, Florida, Alabama, Texas. What we know as the Gulf of Mexico really is the Egyptian Sea. That's where the northern part of Africa was. And the red, white, and blue comes from the unification of the northern and southern parts of Egypt.
Oh, yeah, I did know that. The red, white, and blue that we use in the flag, like what's on Paranoid American Ceiling there, that originally, them colors come from Egypt, they say, right?
Yes, they say.
Yeah, that's interesting.
What year are we looking at? Like, if you look at this map, like, what year are we imagining that all this represents right now?
Wasn't it before War Dominic of 18-something?
Yes. If I'm looking at this map, I'm looking 1400s, 1500s.
Okay, like this, so map, 16th century max then.
Yeah.
When did they allegedly discover America? Paranoid.
Well, I mean, 1492 is when, you know, Columbus sold the ocean blue, but also my mind goes to when they discovered the Rosetta Stone, and the Rosetta Stone was found in the late 1700s. So, and that was the first time that we even really had this link and started deciphering and became like the catalyst for Egyptology and the whole movement for people to even understand hieroglyphics for the first time. In perhaps, you know, like thousands of years and over two millennia, it was the first time that people could actually decipher things. And that was all because Napoleon found the Rosetta Stone. But that wasn't until, I'm pretty sure it was like the late 1700s. So that leaves, if we're talking about the 16th century, so 14 to 1500s, that leaves a lot of area when there's not a lot of people that are accounted for knowing anything about Egypt. Like there was almost a complete gap in knowledge until very recently.
Yeah, and dude, they had some videos too showing, they went viral a while back, showing that like they built the modern day Egypt that we see over in Africa now, like in the 40s and 50s and shit. They put that together. You ever see the videos? I don't know if they're real or not.
Well, that and there's some like Mexican temples, right? The one, like there was this one where this lady, she went and climbed to the top, and when she got down, people were like hitting her, and she got like turned into a meme, and people were just hating on her online. But they didn't realize that when she was climbing up, that was kind of like a fabrication for tourism. Like the actual look of it wasn't like with these steps, and it was actually kind of worn, and sometimes it was overgrown. But the way that they modify it, it just makes it look more classic and more ancient.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Dom, do you know what video I was talking about?
Yeah, I seen that video. Yeah. It was like almost like a hobbit where they had like cranes and all type of stuff pulling them big boulders in, setting it up.
Yeah, 100%.
Why am I getting
feedback on your phone?
Back on your phone.
On my phone?
Yeah, it's you.
Yeah, it's you.
What you mean you're getting feedback?
Hold on, I'm about to mute you. My voice is echoing back. So what you're probably doing is maybe watching the show on another device or something. You can't do that because it'll echo. So make sure you're not watching the show, that you're just participating in the show. All right?
All right.
See? Keeps doing it. Yeah, you, because if you're watching it, Dom, they'll hear my voice coming through it, bud. It's terrible. You heard that, right, Paranoid?
Yeah, I'm just muting myself too, just to be safe.
Yeah, it wasn't you, it was Dom's. But that's cool. So yeah, just make sure you're not watching the show, Dom, because then you won't be able to talk or nothing. But what do you got here, Paranoid? Let me see what you're looking at.
This is just one of the examples that I'd seen before. Hold on, it's Chichen Itza.
Okay, let me hide this one. Chichen Itza here.
So yeah, Chichen Itza, if you look down here on the bottom right, a lot of people have seen this Chichen Itza one. And this is the one where I think that lady got like pummeled by a bunch of people because they were yelling at her for climbing to the top. But what she was climbing to the top of is something that was incredibly recent, because this is what Chichen Itza really looked like, with this like little rinky dink, you know, house at the top of it.
Whoa, that's a big difference.
So, and then look, you can even see that during this reconstruction, look, they added all this extra stone around the edge of it, and they carved out, like, see how this old pathway was like wavering and not perfect, and then they turned it into like a perfect straight stone. And then look at how different this is compared to even this one right here before the reconstruction.
Dude, so, why? Yeah, I don't like when they do that, because that's such a, you know, I mean, come on, man. That's way different. That's what I'm saying, man. We've been lied to so much with history. It's unreal. And I do believe there was further advanced civilizations than what we are living in now back in the day. But, you know, it's that ancient thing saying, the victor of war holds the pen to history. That is so true, man.
Yeah, what if one of the conspiracies isn't that we're evolving, but we're devolving, and then wherever we started from was like the pinnacle of technology and the pinnacle of everything, and it wasn't dumb cavemen. It was like the most enlightened we could have been, and then ever since then, we've just been getting dumber and dumber. Because if that were the case, it would make sense why people keep falling for dumber and dumber schemes over time, right?
Yep. No, I think you're, and that is a conspiracy. You know that, right? What you just said is an actual conspiracy. You got to look into Gigi Young and her work. And
Gigi Young? No, I haven't heard that name before.
She's fire. She's on YouTube. Gigi Young. She gets into evolution and de-evolution and how some entities have, like, she believed Mars was a parallel timeline. It was like another reality in the multiverse, right? She didn't kind of look at it as a planet like everyone else does, but their timeline has came to its end, and these disembodied spirits from that timeline, they're called the Others. These are the ones that were called walk-ins, and during the Philadelphia experiment, when we split a hole in the space-time continuum, they came in and started possessing people, like, because they want to get back into the life wave. So that's what, you know, the reptilian, when people see reptilian shapeshifters and all that, it's these entities, really. And they're humanoids like us, but they develop more of their reptilian cortex. They're more predatorial. They are taller than us. They're like 14, 15 foot tall humanoids. And there's people that's done the remote viewing and seen them. And it's, and during that timeline, they are just, it's like they're waiting for something, because they sent people out and they were supposed to come back with like new land to take them to. Cause I forget what was about to destroy them, but Gigi has it in her work. Her work is so fascinating though, bro.
Yeah, no, I'm just following her on Twitter and YouTube right now. Look at it's funny though, as you describe that, it's also the plot of the Coneheads movie. Just throwing that out there.
Oh, yeah, well, probably is. Well, they, you know how they love to show us stuff in
movies. Yeah, it's true. We should decode that one. We'll add it to the list.
Yeah, we'll add it to the list. And Gigi Young ain't too shabby on the eyes either. You know, she's not too terrible to look at. She's also a Truth Mafia member. You know, she has her own channel on Truth Mafia up there. I've been following her work for a long time, and I really, really love her. She got me into the whole spiritual science and Carl Jung's work. She's real big on Jung, and his work's just, and Rudolf Steiner. Rudolf Steiner's fascinating. You know, his work's pretty cool too. But yeah, she has some really awesome theories. And I think she's on to something with these Others, these disembodied spirits from this parallel timeline. That's what is believed to be possessing the people in Hollywood too, when they do the soul scraping ritual. and let some nano worm go through their eye, wrapping around the optic nerve. It's the consciousness of these entities that, like I said, develop more of the reptilian cortex in their brain. So I guess it is kind of a reptilian type entity. They really kind of, as they're described, they look a lot like dude in Prometheus, the engineer. Mm-hmm. They look a lot like him, dude, these entities from Mars.
I like you said soul scraping ritual. I like that. That's a new one for me.
Well, yeah, that's what it used to be called before. Yeah,
I understand what it is. I just haven't heard that term before. I like it.
Yeah, because people to give it new names now. You know, they're trying to rename stuff. And shout out to Max Spears. He was found vomiting black goo on a couch in Poland when he was going to expose this black magic cult with Michael Aquino. And he talked about it, soul scraping, and how they would go in through the eye, summoning an entity down out of the ether. And it was these entities, and they're down in the lower astral plane right now, the eighth sphere. That's like where everything that is from nightmares is down there. And that's where these entities went to. They got to go through their whole karma and everything. So, because they were pretty predatorial. But them are the ones that, you know, are possessing Biden, possessing people like Trump, because Trump ain't no better than Biden, let me tell you that. Possessing these world leaders, when we see the whole shapeshift and stuff, it's these entities. That's the theory on it anyways. So
you get a lot of hate for saying that, though. There's a lot of people that like Trump can still do no wrong.
Oh, I know. It's crazy to me. That's sad, because that's very scary. You know, that it's setting us up for a big psyop. Because, yeah, they believe anything he says. They will literally fight. Dude, there's families out there that don't talk to each other no more because one family member don't like Trump and one does. You know how crazy that is? Trump wouldn't pee on either one of you unless you guys were partying together. You know, but if you were on fire, he wouldn't piss on either one of y'all. Only thing he would do that is if y'all was partying together, or
you got to have a Russian accent and like a C cup at least.
Yeah. They said all that was BS though. But dude, there was a video that went viral a long time ago about his daughter saying that he came home and forced himself on her. You know what I mean? So I don't.
No comment. I don't want that smoke.
I don't trust none of them, bro. I don't trust Trump. I don't trust Biden. I don't trust Obama. None of them, which I do think they're getting ready to do a King Kill 33 ritual. And for a while, I was looking at Biden, but lately in the decodes, it keeps coming up. Obama dead, Obama dead. So I'm starting to wonder, oh, is Obama going to be the King Kill 33? I don't know. And what, and you know, with the whole Antichrist narrative, bro, maybe they'll try to say he got shot and survive a head wound and come back and push that whole narrative when it's all fake and scripted and nothing really went down the way they told us it did. So who knows?
Well, if we say that we're back in Egypt, right? Or at least we use the US as like the map to old Egypt.
Right.
And they could be replaying that same exact story over and over of Osiris and splitting up the body and burying it. Cause that's the original King Kill 33 ritual, right? And that's where all the degrees come from too, is ancient Egypt. So yep. If we just say that was the same land as we've got now, the thing that makes that's really interesting to me here is that Mormonism, and even I think the Nation of Gods and Earths, and even like some of the 5% Nation, a Nation of Islam, they all have a lot of similar claims that the United States in particular is the real land. Like, it's not a metaphorical promised land, that it really was the original biblical land, and that a lot of these ancient texts actually took place in North America. I've always found that interesting.
Yeah, me too. It's very fascinating. Dom, are you there, Dom? Hold on, let me see if his mic's good now. Let me unmute it. Why is it not unmuting? Can't unmute your guests because they chose to mute themselves, it says. Oh, there you go, Dom. Go ahead and talk, Dom. Is the where did you say Sodom and Gomorrah was?
Gomorrah is between Indiana and Ohio in the northern part of the United States, between Illinois, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Indiana. That's considered the southern region of the United States.
Your audio is terrible, brother. Are you talking into your mic?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah. Just make sure you're up on it. You know what I mean? So you said it's between Ohio, Indiana, in that area. Would Chicago, Illinois be part of Sodom and Gomorrah?
Yeah, because Chicago has mounds too.
Well, you know what I was thinking? I'm thinking like, okay, they said fire fell from heaven on Sodom and Gomorrah. So what if that was Yellowstone blowing up, bro? Because if Yellowstone blew up, Chicago would get hit, Indiana would get hit, Ohio would even be covered in ash. So where I'm at in Sodom and Gomorrah, that's crazy, bro, to think about that. And then where's Israel then? On the West Coast?
Yeah, on that map you had up, yeah, it looks like it's almost in Utah. Which actually kind of aligns again with what Mormonism is, and like what Joseph Smith was talking about, the promised land and finding hieroglyphics on golden plates.
So really where I'm at is like Babylon. Yeah, I'm in pretty much Babylon. Right. Oh, that's great. And then Mesopotamia is like St. Louis area, I would guess.
Yeah, and when you're talking about Israel, yeah, it's because see, like I always say, everything with them is always the opposite. And my opinion with this map and everything that I've been saying, this is not the West, this is the East. We've just been lied to.
I definitely know they do lie to us. So Lebanon would have been on the West Coast as well. Then you said in the Four Corners. Well, what'd you say, buddy?
They found hieroglyphs in the Grand Canyon of the Grand Menorah.
Hey, let's do this because I can't hear you. And none of the guests ain't going to be able to hear you either. Just call my phone. That way we can put you on speaker, brother. You know what I'm saying? Dog, yeah, because I can't hear you, bud. So we'll just have you call in, and then that way the guests can hear what you're saying. I can't hear a word you're saying. That's crazy because your audio was fine before we went live.
I got something pulled up too while we get that sorted out, because I'm interested in what Dom was saying, and I got a visual here that I think might help explain part of it. So here's the map that we were all looking at just a second ago, right? And then here's a map of Egypt and Israel now, but like he was saying that it's going to be inverted, right? So like once you invert it and you flip it over to the other side here, this is more of what we're looking at, and that's where it describes how, like, knock the passy down a little bit. So here's Egypt down here, and then if you stretch this out here, that would be where Israel's at, right?
Yeah.
So if you're asking like where Jordan would be or where Lebanon would be, right? Lebanon would essentially be what, Northern California?
Wow. Like,
or maybe Oregon. You see what I'm saying?
Probably Oregon. Okay, let's audio check. Dom, you there?
Yes, sir. Mic check 1, 2, 1, 2.
Oh, I can hear you so much better now.
Yeah, it's way better.
Everybody in the comment, go ahead and talk, Dom.
Yeah.
Mic check?
Mic check.
Yep, that's so much better, dude. Yeah, you wasn't on screen anyway, so might as well just have you on the phone. But Paranoid, could you show me that thing you just did again real quick?
Yeah.
That was crazy how you inverted it. Kind of does look like what you said.
So, yeah, that was the map. And then here's a image of Egypt, but I just flipped it 180, or I just basically inverted it on the x-axis. So you can see even the word Egypt aligns up with the word Israel that's on here. See Israel up here on the top left is backwards now. So, like, there you go. And that kind of lays out exactly how this map would be. So at least in relation to where these two different areas would be at that scale, right?
Yeah, and it is. Yeah. Go ahead, Dom.
Yeah, because the more and more that I'm looking into things and realizing that we've been lied to way more than just what we really think, even with the land masses and how far they are apart. Because I have a friend that lives all the way in Fairbanks, Alaska, right? And they can look across the water and see Russia. And I asked him, I said, well, how long would it take you to get from where you are to Russia? He said it'd take him 39 minutes to get to Russia from Fairbanks, Alaska. So with that being said, if you look at a map to see the way that they describe the world to be, how is he can see 39 miles away to Russia, where if you look at it on the map, the way that they show it to you, there's no way possible he should see that.
Right.
But he can every single day. Just like if you were on the edge between Ohio and Indiana, how you can look across and use crossing state lines. That's how far he is from Russia. So I'm confused because that ain't what I was taught my whole life.
Yeah. Well, just like
physically possible,
just like the plane routes too, you know, these planes fly all around if they went straight, it would be so much quicker. You know,
here's a theory for everybody to take and run with. Two things. Anytime you traveling far, and I mean far, not far like United States travel, I'm talking to another country. Every time that you go to do that, they're going to always take you, most of the time, you're going to always have to go to London. Always. And the reason why they do that is because it fits the whole Earth is round theory. Because if you put the same, if you was going to Alaska, Hawaii, and somewhere like that on a flat Earth map, it would line up perfectly in a straight line. So, again, just food for thought.
This is crazy, Paranoid. What'd you do here with that map?
Oh, wow. I'm just like really roughly overlaying like the area here to see where all the other countries might line up.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the scale is going to be different because they're different map projections and they both assume a spherical world, which might not be true.
Yeah. Might not be true, dude. I mean, you know, they say there's the central where we're at is within the ice wall, right? And then there's this other land on the outer side of the most ice wall. And then, like, outside of that, there's even more land. And then you have the scorched wasteland, the frozen wasteland. But Asgard, Odin's out there. That's supposed to be, like, the first empire, Asgard. And I definitely do believe we've been lied to with this. Like I said, even the oldest depictions, there's a lot of proof that there's a dome over this thing. It's in the Bible, right? And then there's an underworld below it too. So they get flat Earth and hollow Earth to fight with each other when it's a mixture of both of them.
I'm trying to find out where Dallas would be because I'm really interested in this King Kill 33 ritual. And if it lines up, like, where is Dallas in this particular scale, right?
Yes, I would like to know that too.
Of that map, if you're looking at the map that was on the screen, it would be probably southwest of the Egypt on the map, right there close to where it says the Gulf Egyptian Sea, that's the Gulf of Mexico. So that's Alabama, Texas, all of that right there. That's Texas. That butts up right there to where it says.
So Dallas would be somewhere around here. So it would be smack dab right in the middle of Egypt.
Yeah.
Right? Because Texas is a – this is basically Texas. If I my memory serves me correctly, it's something like this.
Yes, it is.
That's 100%. Basically Texas, right?
Yep.
And this would be Dallas right there.
Yep.
Maybe even a little bit higher. Maybe it's like right up in there or something.
So it would be like the northeast part of Egypt.
You want another little secret or food for thought? The Mississippi River wasn't always called the Mississippi River, neither.
What do you believe it was called before?
It's the same river. It's the same. It's what they call in the Bible. What they said that Moses parted. I wish I had a closer depiction of that map, because if you look close, the Mississippi River is still on there, but it's called something else. And it's a very important to the biblical text.
I can't tell what that says.
I have to find it, because that picture is hard to find. The one where it's up close, where you can actually see what it says. But it's I want to say it's the prominent thing that they talk about in the Bible.
Well, Jay Dream said he lives in Moab on that.
He's right. Here's his house right here. If anyone wants to send him fan mail, here he is in Moab.
Lord Jay. Jay, if you ain't busy, you want to come on, you could jump on. I'll send you a link, bro.
That's why I asked. The one place that they don't really let you experience as a person that would want to do something like that, and that's walk the Grand Canyon or be down in the Grand Canyon. You can only take a hot air balloon ride.
They don't,
and it's only so far that they're going to let you go.
What, in the Grand Canyon?
Yeah.
So that's like Grand Canyon's like somewhere, or right where Jay's at, basically, right? This is like Grand Canyon right around there.
Yeah, and that's a very important reason why they don't want you up in that Grand Canyon.
You said there was, I sent you the link, Jay. You said there was pyramids in the Grand Canyon area, right? And that one map I had, it's hard to see, but they said there was like pyramids all over America.
Oh, it is. It's some in Georgia. Memphis, Tennessee needs to explain how they got their name, because that comes from something that they took out of the Bible at the Council of Nicaea.
Yeah,
they got some explaining to do.
They took a whole lot out of the Bible during that.
They took the Book of Enoch out. And in the Book of Enoch, he talks about to his wife how he's going to name his son after himself. But it translates to English as Memphis. And then when you go back and do your research, you find out that Memphis, Tennessee, the whole city used to be pyramids.
Don't they still have a pyramid there?
Yeah, they got a few.
Well, they do.
They got one in Georgia too.
That's that 36th parallel where they do all them rituals, dude. Look how many rituals they did there this year. Just shootings. I mean, over and over and over again. They've been doing it for like the last 4 years straight.
It's almost asking where the Euphrates is at. And this is actually blowing my mind a little bit, because when I overlay that inverted map of the Middle East, the Euphrates lines right up with the Colorado River.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, it does. Like, I've got it pulled up right now.
Let me see.
Yeah, that. Because we've been lied to.
So look, here's Iraq. Right? I'm gonna redo it from scratch here. So Iraq is right here. The Euphrates River, I believe, goes through like it's either the top one or bottom one. I think it'll go through this bottom one. So it's somewhere around this area. And if I wanted to get a little bit looser with it, since this map is off scale, let's kind of do like that, right? So then if I take a map of the rivers in the U.S. and I line it up with this map that was under it, and I'll hide this one now. I got to stretch it out a little bit so that it fits. Right, but look, it's lining up with the Colorado River right there.
Yeah, it is.
I got one for you, and it just came to me. The river that I'm looking for is the Nile River.
You're trying to figure out which one's the Nile?
Yeah, and I believe it lines smack dead up or really close to the Mississippi.
Well, where's the Mississippi? Where would that be at, Paranoid?
I believe the Mississippi is that line right there that goes right down the middle, right? I can't see what it says. It's like eighth vortex something.
Yeah, who knows what the hell that says. So maybe we could get a real depiction of it and then try to put it on there and see what that says.
Well, so this the Nile River would be this river right here inverted. So that's the Nile. So
okay.
Show that. That would basically be right through the middle of Texas. So let's see what river that would be. I don't see anyone that go lateral like that.
No. So could it?
I mean, if you look at it, the Rio Grande is kind of that same shape, though.
Yeah, it is.
You know what I mean?
It kind of is that same shape. And maybe lost some of its water since then, you know? Cause I've seen Mexicans literally walking over the Rio Grande and just coming right into America.
So here's an inverted version of the Nile. So you can actually, I mean, it doesn't match up with the same location, but if like the shape of it, without even distorting it or rotating it, it seems to line up with the Rio Grande.
Yeah, and you know, this is just an estimate too. So the Egypt could have been a little further that way. You know, it's an estimate. So that this kind of goes with what Jay Dreams talks about with the plasma apocalypse, these global resets, the rewriting of history. You know, there's many people out there that have different theories on it, but Tartaria. You know, whole civilizations that they said have been covered up from us. Now, with Tartaria, I don't get involved in the stuff they say from the fair. That's proof of advanced technology. That's some of the dumbest shit I've ever seen in my life. But I do believe that there was an empire that existed and that it's been hidden from us. Jay Dreams in the house. What up, Jay?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the first time we ever interviewed Dominic, that was me and Jay that interviewed him with the King Kong stuff. And so, Jay, what's your theories on this, man? I can't wait to hear.
Well, let me butt in really quick, Jay. Yeah, go ahead, first of all, what up, Jay? But Tommy, bro, based on this map that we pulled up, look, this green in the background, it's hard to read, but it says Tunisia. So, oh, the Ohio River right here, right in the middle of Ohio. That's Carthage. So you're living in modern day Phoenicia, my friend. Like this is the reincarnation, right? That's Carthage. Is the tip of Tunisia.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
So what's up? What's up, Jay?
Hey, how's it going?
Merry Christmas, man.
Yes, happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Yeah, I really like checking out these maps and doing the comparisons like that. What was the river you guys were just talking about?
We were doing Euphrates, and then we did the Nile.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
The Rio Grande was maybe the Nile, and then the Euphrates is maybe the Colorado.
Interesting.
So, Jay, you're like out there by the Holy Land, dude.
Yes. Wherever I go.
Hey, I seen you playing the piano like Mozart last night.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I was rocking out.
Dude, you should see Jay play the piano. I'm telling you, he is good, dude.
He's got the tea tickler, the panty dropper tea tickler.
Oh, yeah, he could definitely.
Yeah, at the retirement home and the hospital.
No, it was good, though. It was really good. I was shocked. Thanks. He could play so many different things. I'm talking, like, you know, top-level shit. Some shit you would hear a musician play.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So I do have some thoughts on the thing. I like all that. So my question would be the Euphrates, right? It really, like, you know, its origin, according to many, many cultures and stuff, is the Garden of Eden. It's one of the four rivers of the Garden of Eden, right?
Oh, is it?
Now, this, I happen to be writing a book on this particular subject right at the moment. So I have a lot of research that I've done on the Euphrates and the other four rivers of the Garden of Eden. And I have some unique theories. First and foremost, I'm compelled so far, based on my research so far, to a different understanding of the way that of our place names, all of our modern place names that we have, many of them, maybe even all of them, I don't know, but at least the hugely popular places like Egypt and Babylon and the rivers, the great mountains, that they actually are renamed, that those weren't their original names, but that they were renamed that based on the nomadic people that came and settled those areas. They named it after their home places. So they get to a, you know, a land that's between two rivers, that's going to be Mesopotamia or whatever. They get to a, you know, the tallest mountain in the area is going to be named after their tallest mountain of the area where they came from, to pay homage to their culture, their origins and stuff, right? So what's up?
No, Alan asked in the comments and then continued.
They Sorry.
The alligators were. And I said, I was going to say the alligators are in Florida now.
Well, no, he said crocodiles. He said, well, where are the crocodiles at? But how do we know, Alan, that that's true? You know, maybe there, maybe at one time there was crocodiles here, or maybe there it was never like that. It was alligators or whatever. But that is a good question, Alan.
What's the difference, really, though? Yeah. Like, they're pretty much the same.
Right. Like, it's not a really a big difference.
But the weight, I mean, one's massive. One can eat you in one bite, a crocodile. Right, right. But they'll both destroy you pretty quickly. So, Jay, I know your theory. You think the Euphrates was up by where Mount Meru is and stuff, right?
Yeah, the original one. So, like, the original of the four rivers, I do believe, is at the, or at least originally was at the North Pole. But I also believe that when those inhabitants of the land at the North Pole, when they left after an age or an eon of living there, that they spiraled around the Northern Hemisphere, dropping down lower and lower as they went. And they were, you know, there's been many different names for these tribes that came and emerged. And there was different tribes too. It wasn't just like one, you know, race of people or class of people or whatever. But they came and they settled areas like North America and Canada and Siberia and Russia, even going all the way down into, like, you know, teetering on China and, you know, lower parts and into the lower south. But it makes sense to me that they would also take their writings with them, right? Like, for example, I personally believe, based on my research so far, that like the Phoenician people and the quote unquote, like, Paleo Hebrew or ancient Hebrew people, not like Jewish people or anything, but like they're real Hebrew people. They have writings here in America. Like, there's a famous stone that has, you know, proto-Sinaitic script on it. That's basically the Ten Commandments down in, I think, New Mexico. And they use it as a marker to establish their boundaries. Cause when you come into their property, you need to read the rules. You know, the law of the land.
Jay, Cherokee spoke, Cherokee Indians speak a broken Aramaic.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with that, dude?
Yeah, like, you'll find such strong similarities. That whole, what's the line that goes horizontal? Is that longitude around this way?
Is that the longitudinal line?
Yeah, east to west.
Paranoid, you're muted.
Yeah, you're right, Jay.
Okay. So around the whole longitudinal line, you'll see extreme similarities in all of these different languages, especially going across to the islands like Hawaii, right? And then all the way around across Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek and stuff. They have, I found that they all have similar etymological roots to them. They're all related basically. And they're very simple too. They're easy to learn. They're really simple in languages that stem from picture form.
Ain't it fascinating though, to look at all these different narratives open-mindedly and just, I love it. You know, I like to look at anything.
That's what the movie Roots was about.
Well, what'd you say, Brother Dom?
I said, that's why they made the movie Roots.
What was it about?
The movie Roots, the star of the movie, his original name was Kunta, but when he got to America, they named him Toby. Well, Toby in the Bible, biblical, Toby was wealthy, and he was amongst the Israelites, and he was a captive. He got captive when he was amongst the Israelites. And the movie Roots, the part that they wanted to take out of the movie is when they capture Kunta, because Kunta is origins is an Arabic word, and it comes from the Kunta tribe that has deep roots. That's why the movie was called Roots. And he was taken from Navilla or something like that, from the northern kingdom of Israel. And he was taken north. That's the whole thing with the boat. Like, we was already here, and in the background, it's got all of the indigenous people to the land standing there, and that was a scene that wasn't intended to be in the movie, and they fought for it to get taken out, but it was already too late, because it's telling you this same story, that with this map, if the word Kunta and the word Toby, if that's who he's portraying to be, then he's already in the promised land. You see what I'm saying? Because that's where they grabbed him from, was down in Virginia area, which would have been tied into my maps, would have been the northern part of Egypt that I described earlier.
That's fascinating. You think a lot of the Native American tribes too, Dom, were melanated people? I did find this crazy picture. I wish I would have saved it. I'll have to try to look for it again real quick. But it was where the noble families of England, after like they allegedly conquered America, wanted them to bring back some tribes, right? And they were doing kind of like a fair type thing. And they brought back what was allegedly supposed to be Cherokee Indians, but they were as black as Dominic is, you know. And
I got original pictures of the real Indians, like real Indians, not the ones that we've already been seen and told our whole life. I'm talking real live Indians.
You think them ones are Aztecs, right? It's Aztecs and Mayans, the one that have the more Asian features?
Yeah, because in their book that they don't want you to know about, it says in their book that the indigenous people to the land and the Indians that are portrayed were handpicked by the government to be a particular type of Indian to the world. And the Indians did not and do not have high cheekbones, slanted eyes, or long straight hair. It's out of their book.
Wow. Well, yeah. I mean, they lie a lot, you know. These people lie a lot. But Native American people get pissed when you say that.
5 seconds to pull it up. And I can read it to you word for word what they put in their book about the Indians.
Yeah,
and
go,
who the Indians are.
Yeah, go ahead. And I'll also look for that picture. I had a really good one on my Instagram I shared, but so many people got mad at me for it. It was crazy. And I just like to look at this stuff open-mindedly to, you know, I think it's interesting to look into. I'm not trying to offend anyone by any means at all. But
if someone in the comments was talking about the Red River of Texas, so I'm just kind of playing around with that on the Nile.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, figure that out. Jay, have you seen all these natural disasters that they're not talking about on the media at all? Dude, flooding after flooding after flooding. All the volcanoes are blowing up right now. Like, this should be mainstream news. And we're
it's not going to be. It's not. They're going to just convince you it's all normal. And it's because we have more cameras and more technology to record stuff. Nah, dude, the signs are strong right now. The signs are very strong. And they're becoming amplified. And I was also going to say, too, like the
Bay Area. North Bay is flooding now. Trees are down. Like, there's so much. Evacuation orders are going out there.
It's just the beginnings of sorrows, my friend. Watch. It gets way worse than this.
I'm with you. I'm with you, dude. And it's just, to me, it's nuts that it's not more publicized. Like, they're acting like it's just, they're dumbing it down.
I find this to be interesting, guys. Check this out. A little more food for thought. It says that most reservation Indians were carefully selected by the United States government to occupy reservations where they're being established. The United States government, for the most part, selected pale-skinned Indians or Hollywood versions to occupy government-established reservations. The United States government hand-selected these particular people for a reason. Dark-skinned natives indigenous to the Western Hemisphere, aka Indians, were reclassified during the 1700s and 1800s as Negroes or people of color. Certain dark-skinned natives were allowed to stay on reservations or stay where they were. They were given an ultimatum: either stay where you are and be reclassified as Negro or colored people during the 1700s or 1800s found themselves in the 20th and the 21st century again being reclassified as Black Americans or African Americans. Dark-skinned Americans indigenous to the Western Hemisphere, aka Indians, are the true indigenous people to the Western Hemisphere.
Oh, man. That's, well, we do know one thing for sure, that they weren't called Indians, right? I mean, he said they called them that because they thought they made land in India, but it wasn't India. And that story sounds stupid to me.
Okay, so check this out. India, they are misnamed. Okay, that's what I'm saying. So India actually comes from the land of Ind, I-N-D. And then it just has the, you know, the suffix that so many countries and stuff have at the end of it, which just pays homage to like that particular god, which they called Yah. You know what I mean? But anyways, Ind is India was named after Ind, which is mentioned in some of these ancient writings or whatever in regards to like the lands around the Garden of Eden and stuff like that too. And in America, since we're on, you know, North America right now, it's really interesting to dig into Native American creation stories and their myths and legends that talk about their origins and their beginnings, where they come from, and even legends that prophesy their return to like their homeland or their promised land or whatever. And it's interesting whenever you read why they settled in the lands that they settled in. You know what I mean? It's not like they just happened upon the lands. They were guided to these lands. They were brought to these lands by the word of, you know, their gods.
Right.
Even down into Mexico, right, the Aztecs. And they were actually told to look for the symbol that's on the Mexican flag. That was the symbol that they were to look for, which was this huge cactus that grew up into the sky and had a bird on the top of it and was holding onto a snake and stuff like that. Very similar to the story of the Hebrews, you know, in their journey in the wilderness and Moses holding up his staff with the snake, etc.
Yeah, it's
right. And to add what you said about the Aztecs, but the where the story is how they walked, like you said, but nobody asked themselves where they came from.
Yeah, it's nuts. Dude, I've just found, like, there's a tribe of from South Carolina, and they look straight black to me. You know? And then even the Cherokee, old pictures of the Cherokee, I could see them being the real Israelites, you know, with them speaking that broken Aramaic. They're very dark skin toned as well. So, yeah, it's just fascinating that there was definitely some melanated tribes, 100%. You know, people would be dumb to say there wasn't. I'm not saying they all were that, but there was. I'm trying to find this one where they took them over.
What bro said about the Aztecs, look into the map of 1847, and you're going to find something on that map is very interesting.
The map of what? 1847, did you say?
1847.
Okay.
It's gonna be like of the United States. The United States ain't even completely put together on the map. Ohio, Indiana, all of that ain't even drawn in as the sketches of what we know the outlines to look like. It's not even put together yet. And it has the Mexican seal stamp on it, just like the flag that they carry with the eagle on the top. With the snake in its mouth, it should be on the like right-hand corner of the map. If you're looking at the right map, of, I think it's 1847, and on that map it says,
"Oh, wow. This is cool."
Argentina, Del Los Aztecs in English, that translates to the home of the Aztecs.
Which you think was so the four?
If the story is correct, that's where the Aztecs come from. Where they took they little walk until they found, when their God told them what to do, that's where they came from. They came from the States. They changed the maps because if you go look up the map of 1868, that's completely gone off the map. Changed it.
That's fascinating. But yeah, I found a lot of pictures of Black Indians, so they definitely seem to be a real thing. You know what I mean? They definitely were 100% a real thing, I think. And then the more the ones that we became to think are Indians, Dom saying them are like the Aztecs and Mayans, which it's definitely a cool theory to look into. And usually with the government, they do lie a lot. So, I mean, it would make sense. They don't want people to know their true heritage. Then remember, even in the Bible, you guys know I'm not super religious, but in the Bible, it says there will be Jews that pretend they're of my people, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Now, if you look at gematria, true Jews equals 42, which is the N word, the first black baseball player, allegedly, but there was one before him, but whatever, that's who they tell us, Jackie Robinson, number 42. So everything connected to the melanated community is connected to that 42 number. So, you know, people lie, numbers don't. I think they've rewritten history 100%. 100%, man. It's
how far do you think it goes back? When can you trust any sort of history? Like 1980s?
Like 1960s? I don't know, bud. I don't know. What do you think, Jay?
1897.
Dom says. Jay, what do you
think? Why so specific?
Because in 1897 is where the Indians established with the government the Freedmen Land Treaty Act. And that's the biggest secret that's been kept for over 150 years. And they completely ignored this treaty act that a lot of us that's in this world right now, they owe you a tremendous amount of money. They just ignored this whole thing that still stands to this day, federal documents that I had to pay for. Like, these are 100% legit. Washington, July 16th, 1897, gives you the whole description. It's 12 pages long. On how you've been lied to and how they completely ignored something that was agreed upon back in the 1500s, 1600s. Like, they've been slick with it. And it's crazy. Like, these is 100% true documents. And I can send them to Tommy and he can look them up. But I'm telling you, I had to pay for these. Like, these is court documents. And it's the biggest secret that's been kept. One of the biggest secrets for the last 150 years.
So what's up with Pennsylvania? What would that be in this theory?
Give me one second, because I got pictures of all of that.
Because they got, they call it what? They got Bethlehem, PA. Well, what's it say on the map? It's kind of just says like Babylon in that area. Ohio would be Babylon. Maybe that whole eastern seaboard part right there. And then Assyria is like up by, what's up there, Paranoid? That's
you asked me what would be?
Pennsylvania.
I want to say that's a part of Edom.
No, because Edom is all the way out on the west coast. Edom's out in the, like, where Colorado is in that area.
Let me look at this map right here.
On the map that you showed us, where Israel's out there, Jerusalem's out there, Lebanon, Edom, and Egypt's in the middle, and over by where PA is Babylon. I guess that whole area around there would have been Babylon.
Yeah, I got PA pulled up. Sorry, go ahead, Jay. You were about to say something, man.
That's okay. I'm just going with the flow. I know the etymology of Pennsylvania because it's come up a few times during my Truth in Movies breakdowns, and it's the root of it is two words. It's pen, which means the head or the top, and then sylvan, which, you know, equates to like a foresty area or whatnot. So it's etymologically, it means the top forest or the forest on top or the head forest or the main forest of the world.
That's actually wild, dude, because right as you were saying that, it is the top of Libya, and Libya was known, I think this in some Freemason stuff, but that like some of the timber that they would get to build some of the temples came from these forests in Libya. So wow. Here, and that's exactly what, if Pennsylvania means like the top, right? This is the top of Libya based on this map that we were looking at.
Yep. Wow. That's interesting. That's crazy. So they had big forests there in Libya.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the forest of Libya right here.
When I hear Libya, I think like the Middle East for some reason.
I mean, that's right, too. But, I mean, they got trees.
You know right. Mean? You got trees. Yeah, you got Egypt, Saudi.
So, also, like I was saying, too, like, I think a lot of these places are renamed after other places, right? So, there's that book. I did a breakdown of that book, like, The Travels of Sir John Mandeville. Have you guys heard of that one?
No. The breakdown on the book.
Yeah, his name is like Mandevil or like Cruella de Vil, you know, like Mandeville. It's about this medieval knight that went traveling and exploring the world into, you know, previously mythic or unexplored places. And he came back and he wrote this book all about his strange discoveries. And I like all those kinds of travel logs. You know, like I read through so many ancient explorers, stupid, you know, diaries and travelogues and stuff like that, just to find the anomalies and weird stuff that they talk about. But his is full of those types of stories. And in it, he talks about, he vividly describes paradise. Not only does he describe it himself, but he describes his secondhand, like, you know, stories of what other cultures around the world from all these strange places, how they described these other places, right? So, for example, whenever he talks about Babylon, he clarifies. When he's speaking of like the one in the Middle East, he'll call that like Little Babylon or whatever, but when he's talking about like the main Babylon with the Tower of Babylon, all that stuff, he says like Babylon the Greater or whatever, right? And he does that with Libya, he does it with Egypt, he does it with India and a few others too. It's really interesting.
It also lines up with Benghazi. Pennsylvania does.
That's funny. It's cool to find out like how these maps line up and stuff.
I agree. For me, it's proof of like the whole fractal verse concept that I talk about, where everything is holographic in nature and it's a repeating code. So you see these patterns emerging even, you know, in our geography.
Yeah, it's fascinating, dude. It's so cool to me. I thought everybody would really love this topic because, you know, we usually do a movie decode on Saturdays, but
I'm getting mine ready for tomorrow. You guys want to know what it is?
What is it?
The Langoliers.
What is that?
Oh my God. I didn't know what it was either because it looked stupid when I was a kid. So I didn't watch it because it looked, because it was like a mini series or something. It was like a movie mini series or whatever.
What's it called?
It's called The Langoliers. It's a Stephen King short story.
Langoliers.
Yeah.
Oh,
highly recommend it, bro. I watched it all last night in one sitting and I have been at the computer all day breaking it down. So
listen, great. I got a new one for us, Jay. Me, you, and Paranoid. And we could, if you guys watch, you and Paranoid, I know you. I know what you hate. I know what you like now. I'm pretty good at that. I guarantee both of you will love this movie because you're not going to get it. But it, oh my God, it's so crazy at the end. I couldn't even believe how it ended. It, because I thought this guy was a good guy throughout the movie. But he's like a freaking, this dude's like a parasite. And it's called Saltburn. Saltburn, guys.
I saw that one pop up on my list.
Oh, it's so good, Jay. It's so good. It's like this poor kid that he comes, the guy in the middle there, and stays with this like trillionaire type family. And look, they all got black goo dripping down. But he's like a parasite. He absorbs their souls and stuff, but you don't realize that at first. I don't want to spoil it because I really want to do this movie, but I'm telling you guys, you will love it.
Right on. I just saw that Rebel Moon, too, to the right of it last
Did
night.
You?
It was pretty good.
It's straight.
I'm not in on this Langoliers, man. Langoliers has got Dean Stockwell. That's one, like, I'm already sold.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite movies, and I only just now saw it for the first time, which I'm sad that I have. Like, I'm going to watch it again. I can't wait to break this movie down, dude. You don't even know. It's one of those movies where I watch where, like, my brother was telling me about it. He's like, bro, because we talk about movies a lot, and he's like, you ever hear of The Langoliers? I'm like, nah. Is that cheesy CGI, terrible movie, you know, miniseries? He's like, no, bro. Like, if you watch this, you'll like it because it has everything that you've talked about in your videos. Like, and I'm like, really? Okay. So I started watching it and I was getting like, I don't know how to explain it, but you guys ever like, you know, have a theory about something or just a feeling about a certain truth and then it's corroborated through, you know, a movie or.
Dude, that exact thing happened to me. What, you ever heard of The City of Ember?
Yes, I love that.
I love it.
When I saw that, I was like, it explains something that I had been trying to put into words for so long, but I couldn't quite grasp it. And then I saw the movie, and I was like, damn, this is like, it was obviously a cheesy Hollywood simplified version.
No, we gotta do it. We gotta do The City of Ember.
All right, yeah, I'll add it to the list right now.
It's so great. And that's Plasma Apocalypse too, dude, where they went to the inner, they went underground and built a civilization. That's what you're talking about?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. That's it, man. But they don't realize it because it happened so long ago.
Yep. They don't know that. They think that's all there is. And outside is just death.
And that's the thing too. It's the city of light and it's in the earth. It's inside of the earth. So they have to emerge out of the earth. That's their emergence story, just like so many of the Native American legends and stuff. They came up out of the earth,
like the
you know
hope.
What I mean? Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. They emerged up out of the earth, where the light is different, the conditions are different.
That one's awesome. And I just actually, that's so funny you mentioned it. Paranoid, because I actually just watched it last week. I was going to mention it to you.
What, City of Ember?
Yeah. For some reason, when I was chilling with my daughter, it was on her laptop thing, and I was like, what the hell is she watching this shit for? Because I kind of remembered it, but I couldn't. And we watched it before she fell asleep, and I was like, oh, this shit is the shit. I got to do one on this.
Yeah, look at this. This is crazy, too. I got this. Guys,
I promise, this one right here, Saltburn, is so phenomenal. You guys will – it would be perfect to decode.
That okay, one we got. I'll check it out.
And I got some inside baseball here. Watch it on Netflix or that free F movie site. If you watch it on the F movies, for everybody in the comments, make sure you're using Brave so you don't get pop-ups. Because on any
movie seriously, site, that yeah, no yeah. joke too. That is not you a will joke. Get
hella pop-ups. Yeah,
You're basically giving your computer to someone else at that point.
Yeah, but I use it and never have a problem. But I got so many firewalls on my shit, it's crazy. But what was you gonna say? Inside baseball, Paranoid?
Oh no, I got it pulled up. But I got the list of movies that we've been building up over time, and like, I mean, there's no way for me to prove it because I didn't show it until just now. But City of Ember was literally right under the last movie that we watched, which was Dark Song. But we got
to
these are all the other movies that we've kind of had on the list in no particular order, right? But we got Hunger Games, which we just did, Devil Conspiracy, Devil, which was, I don't know if you guys seen Devil, M. Night Shyamalan's, one of his early movies.
I didn't know that. I love all his stuff. I'll check that one out.
That's the one in the elevator. There's a movie called Starry Eyes. This one called Scariest 61st, which is about Epstein. It's nuts.
Spaceballs, dude. I can't
we
wait.
We talked about that. So we got to do Spaceballs. I want to do one where we do all three Wicker Men. 7303. Yeah, there's going to be one that maybe comes out either this year or next year.
Wow.
All these. And then I even started looking at movies that are going to come out. So we got like Beekeeper, Founder's Day. Like I want to figure out like when the movies are coming out so we already plan for it and they don't just like come out of fucking or out of left field.
No, remember what I told you? We're going to start breaking down the trailers. Because mm-hmm. the trailers, we could do like the short episodes on breaking down the trailer of the movie, and then that'll get us ready for when the movie comes out. We are way ahead of the game already talking about it. But A Dark Song, at first, when you start watching it, you think, oh man, it's kind of low budget, but it is deep. It's like it shows you the closest you'll ever see to an actual ritual being done on screen.
And someone just mentioned another really good movie. I'm going to add it right now, and that's Serpent in the Rainbow.
Oh, yeah. Put that one in there.
Yeah, anyone else got good at Children of the Corn? We'll add Children of the Corn on there. There are any good examples.
Have you guys seen the new Nick Cage movie, Something Dream? I forgot where he's like, and everyone's having a dream about Nick Cage.
I saw it recently. I saw the cam version, though. I want to rewatch it again.
Is it good? I haven't seen it. Everyone tells me it's pretty good.
I liked it a lot. I'm trying to find a dream scenario. That's the name of it.
What'd you say, Tom?
Have y'all seen that trailer of, I think it's the story of the Anunnaki? There's a movie coming out. Anaya Lathan's playing in it.
No, but I see a troll in the comments I need to handle real quick. Hold on.
It's called Anunnaki?
I don't know what it's called, but they in the trailer and they say something about the Anunnaki. And Sanaa Lathan got on like this gold, all gold outfit with like this weird headdress on her head. And it's got these like spaceships floating up. It was like on the guidelines of like how the creator was put together. Only it's basically the Anunnaki story.
Right, yeah.
Is the creator any good? I haven't seen that yet either. There's so many movies. Yeah, man.
I seen that.
Bye, troll. He said, I'm only speaking the truth. No, you're being very evil to people in the comments. So you can say your opinion, no problem. But just to troll people, that's like, you gotta go.
Bro, evil and good both always think that they're doing good.
Yeah. Well, I don't deal with disrespect. If you disrespect my people, I just block you, you know. I ain't into it.
Yep.
I'm
Old Testament, dude. Like, I can't wait for the apocalypse. I can't wait. You just
watch. But I told you that.
It's like Taxi Driver, bro. I can't wait for a rain to come and clean the scum off the earth.
Yeah.
They get so mad when you tell them that some of the Native Americans were black. That's what caused it. He was pissed. He didn't want to see this.
So I have a theory about the origin of races. You guys, can I say that or no?
Okay, as long as it's not
racist,
yeah.
Never mind.
Oh, like, damn, he was about to start just dropping hard.
I don't know what that means. Like, well, how do I talk about it? Like,
yeah, as long as you're not saying nothing.
I don't know what racist means, like, except for derogatory. Out. I'm not going to be derogatory. I'm just like, it's weird. Isn't that weird? Like, it's like talking about actual, like, differences in the different humans that walk this surface world, like, is off limits. It's weird to me. I don't know.
Oh yeah, well, YouTube will take us down and say it's hate speech.
Well, I'll be careful. How about that? Okay, I'm not doing any hate speech. So it's very logical for me.
As long as it's something you would talk about on your channel,
I have many times.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't get racist into it at all. It's just a good theory to have. So, Blavatsky, I don't think so, but I can't recall a lot of her writings at the moment. I don't know if she talked about it or not.
She got deep into this, and it was pretty interesting.
It might be because, you know, I have more of a mindset closer to hers than I do, like, mainstream, you know, academics or whatever. She's a theosophist, right?
Yeah, she was raised all these different races. Paranoid probably knows more about it.
Well, she's the OG. She's the one that wrote Secret Doctrine, and from there is where pretty much all the rest, a large portion of Western occultism sprang from that. Like, Crowley gave her props, mm-hmm. Manly Palmer Hall gave her props, Albert Pike gave her props. So, like, without her, we wouldn't have the same flavor of Western occultism we do today.
Yeah, Isis Unveiled was my favorite. Like, that was mind expanding.
Those are thick books, dude. No, they're not easy reads either. They're like dense and not, they weren't made to be page turner. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So here's my theory. It's really simple, right? So imagine, like, the plane of existence. Let's say it's circular, right? And in the middle at the North Pole, let's just speculate and say that was the Garden of Eden. Okay. So we've got four main areas in our local realm, if we live in an enclosed realm, you know, with the dome, et cetera, right? And we have an underworld, et cetera. So we've got one race that across the board, time and time again, is said to have fallen down from the sky. And many times they're described as being white. So you have this, you know, the white root or whatever that goes up to these beings that fell down from the heavens, from above, right?
Are we talking like Nephilim at this point?
Nephilim just means those who fell down. So anything that comes down from the sky is a Nephilim technically. But like, I mean, all those stories, you know, the Nephilim, the Anunnaki, the, you know, aliens that come down from above, whatever. I don't know, all the different ones. So many times they're described as being like pasty white, basically, not Caucasian, but pasty white, right? Like an albino look to them. And then we have many of the Native Americans, like we talked about, say that they came up from within the earth. So many of the myths that I've come across and creation stories and stuff, their tribes that hold those stories, they basically say that the red people came up out of the earth, which is red, you know, clay color or whatever. And then you have the other two on the surface, which is the outer world, or everything to the south or to the outer rim of paradise on the North Pole or whatever, which would be like native people to the surface world, which would be like black people, basically, like, you know, dark skinned people, however you want to see it. So we've got like four main ones. One is at the North Pole, which has a mixture of everybody. And that's paradise. That's everyone living in harmony, all the different quote unquote races and stuff like that. We've got the white devils that like fall from the sky. And then you have like the red race or the red people that come up from within the earth. And they're also described as red too, not just like Native Americans, but there's this book that I read on my channel. It's called Vril. Damn, I forgot the whole title.
Oh, the Vril.
The Coming Race or something like that. Something about the coming race, right? And it has nothing to do with like Nazi Germany or anything like that. It was about this race of people that live inside of the earth in the hollow recesses of the earth. And this guy who was a miner fell down the shaft and he went way down in there and he met like these humanoids that lived down there, and they had a red, like strong, beautiful, I don't know how to describe it, but like they would look more akin to Native Americans. Like, you know, if, you know, you have to imagine like a perfect Native American, like without all the effects of this crazy surface world that we live in today. That's kind of how they're described, and large too, very gigantic. And they had like an alternative light source down there that they called Vril, which was basically plasma as I read it, as I understand it. They took baths in this substance and stuff. It acted as lanterns and lamps down there. So the light spectrum in each of these realms are all different. The light spectrum out there in the heavens is completely different than the light spectrum down here on the surface underneath a glaring focal point. The light spectrum at Mount Meru is totally different depending upon whether or not the beam that shoots up out of Mount Meru is up or retracted down in the earth and it's died and recharging or whatever. And then the light source within the earth. Not only that, but the different conditions too. So for example, I'll just give you an example, right? These beings that came down from above, I sometimes call them the elven race. But when I don't like them, then they're the vampire race, because that's also what they are. They have an aversion to this light source. And this is where the stories of the vampires come from. And they're like, and they have to like pop their collars so that the sun doesn't hit them. And their offspring over time, they would walk around with umbrellas, which was the invention of the umbrella, was to block the sun, not to block rain or anything. They would have these parasols, which was what they were originally called. And they would, you know, they would dress up, even though it was warm weather, they would have all these clothing layers and stuff, a very gothic kind of gaudy, which is appropriate because those are, you know, the ancient gods or a form of them. And the light would hurt them. It would, they had a photophobia and it would burn them. I mean, it burns us, but we have to stay out in it longer because we've adapted, you know what I mean? And some have adapted much better than others. But those who are newly fresh into this world and they're used to the soft glow of the heavens above, or whatever you want to see it as, you know, outside of the dome, right? The light source is not something that they're used to. So it actually burns them, like it microwaves their skin, just like vampires. Anyways, that's my whole theory, my working theory on, you know, the different races. And then they all intermingle as, you know, each apocalyptic cycle they're released and they
flood into the world together. I got stuff on that too after Paranoid.
I just got a quick question for Jay, just because he said when I don't like them, I, instead of calling them elvish, I call them vampires. Like, are you just going through different moods sometimes during the day and you're like, yo, screw them, they're vampires today? Or like, no, it's just depending on a certain context?
Yeah, it depends on the context of my teaching, really. And like, you know, my audience, because some people know way more about vampires than they do elves. And there's many people that don't realize they're one and the exact same. It's just that they're different houses within the same race. There's different, there's the good house, there's the evil house, there's the neutral house. You know what I mean?
Is this like Slytherin and Hufflepuff or whatever the hell the
it would be like the houses of Harry Potter.
I know
Potter,
that's not the right name, but I just don't know.
But even those houses are divided into subsections. So it's actually more closer to like the different classes of races and peoples and creatures in Dungeons and Dragons. So like there's Dungeons and Dragons books, which I love. And there's a character in there named Dritzt Doerden, and Dritzt is a dark elf. Basically, he's a black elf, right? And he comes from the underworld, or the Underdark is how it's called in Dungeons and Dragons. And his people are basically evil when you read, like, in comparison, you know, like when you, when you're not used to their ways and they do some weird stuff that you consider not good, and then you say they're evil. They wouldn't think they're evil, but they're, you know, they're not good. And they follow the Spider Queen and stuff like that, which is also featured in that Rebel Moon movie too. They have that weird Phanazoid spider creature. Anyways, so Dritz, he's good though. He has a heart of gold. He's a hero. He totally doesn't vibe with like the vibe of his people down there and stuff. So the whole story of Dritz, this dark elf, is that he rebels against his people and he goes off on the journey from the Hollow Earth, basically is what it is, all the way through these caverns and stuff for days and days until he reaches the surface world where we live. And then he sees sunlight for the first time. And it's like, he's got to like really squint his eyes. It takes him a long time to adjust. This is also shown to us in the Dark Crystal, in at least in the series, the Dark Crystal series, you know what I mean?
But yeah, there's just different living conditions, you know? To Thrill Oxide in the Dark Crystal too. Because they're extracting this like substance from the lesser race to give to the higher race.
Yes, and that whole thing is deep, right? They also have the blue beam that I talk about, but it's cold.
Yeah, plasma, absolutely. It's one and the same.
You can touch this blue plasma that they have, right? The Skeksis represent the otherworldly gods that land, and they establish this elven standard of beauty, which is what I call it. Which is, we looked up to them. So just like all those little humanoid creatures, I forgot what they're called in the Dark Crystal, they looked up to the Skeksis and they emulated them and they worshiped them and they did all the work for them, you know, because they had technology, basically, like, and they were the guardians who fell down from the sky or whatever and lived in the desert in that tower.
Okay, I want to show you something too, Jay. So I did this blog of the other day on this castle when they do all these rituals at, right? And it's fascinating. It's on these ancient ley lines. Have you ever heard of this castle, Paranoid? Quinta
What's the name of it?
I can never
Quinta de Regaliera?
Yes, dude. It is crazy. They believe it's like there's a portal there too. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. So I put like who founded it, where it comes from, all the different architecture in it.
They use Hermes. They use this in a number of movies.
Yeah, I think
this was in Game of Thrones.
Oh, he's giving it to the goat. That's crazy.
But look, at the bottom of this well, this is called the intention well or whatever, right?
Initiation well.
At the bottom of it is a freaking eight-pointed star. So that's at the bottom of the well. And it has this whole underground caverns and all kinds of stuff in it. Its own church, which the chapel in it has all this Knights Templar stuff all over the floor. It's pretty fascinating. But that eight-pointed star being at the bottom of that initiation well is, I found fascinating, because I just had got done doing a breakdown on the eight-pointed star and the connections to Nibiru, how they're trying to open a portal. You know, like CERN has the eight bars going around inside of it. The Vatican has the eight spokes on the wheel. Inanna's name in cuneiform is the eight. My theory with this is Nibiru is a dimension. Dimension X that they're using CERN to open it up to. And anytime you find this eight-pointed star symbolism, it's always connected to superheroes. You have it with Captain Marvel, and she got her powers through plasma. You have it with Wonder Woman. It's on her forehead. The elves that Jay was just talking about, the elven race, it's heavily ingrained with them. So any entities that have powers, in the movie Man of Steel, at exactly 45 minutes into the movie, they have the eight-pointed star on the screen as Superman's in that spaceship learning who he was and who his people were from the copy of his father. It's his father's consciousness, remember? And being a EO equals 45, fallen angels, fallen ones. That's what the Anunnakis, the Watchers, were. I'm not saying they're good or bad. That's just where it comes from. Then with chaos magic, we see this chaos but it's heavily ingrained in the Mormons. We were talking about the Mormons in Egypt. Dude, yep. It's so ingrained throughout their whole temples. It's crazy. So what do they know that we don't? You know what I'm saying? And we see the nobility nowadays. They wear the Iron Cross. And, Jay, you know, the oldest symbol for Nibiru was the cross, right? Called the planet of the crossing. And what I think is when this eight-pointed stargate would open in the sky, that's when these entities were able to cross over from these other dimensions in the multiverse, one of them being Dimension X, where 50-foot humanoids live. Their atmosphere is much different than ours, right? And we worship them as gods when they came down here. Muriduke, he's covered in the eight-pointed stars, dude. I also found a connection to the eight-pointed star in Jupiter. Jay, the Order of the Dragon, that's all the eight-pointed star, brother. And remember, that's Baylor's family, dude.
Yeah, the vampire. That's why they're the vampire race. They come from where the dragons come from.
Yeah, the vampire, the elven. Now, something other interesting to you, if you look at the gematria of it, the vampires and the reptilians are one and the same. They have the perfect overlapping gematria. Look in that 30 cipher, vampires and Chaldean. You'll see reptilians in that cipher. And we see that same symbol on the coat of arms in the Pope's coat of arms on the star card in the tarot deck. But yeah, man, it's crazy how ingrained it is, especially connected to entities that have powers and abilities. Mm-hmm. It blew my mind, dude. And on the UN, right? They have this base up there on the 33rd parallel, Mount Hermon. This is where the Watchers, the 200 fallen angels, descended to give man this information they weren't supposed to have. And look, right there's the eight-pointed star. So it represents a portal, represents a race of people too. But the portal connection of it, think about this. That's where these entities came down and crossed over. So it's fitting that they have that symbol right there on Mount Hermon. You know what I mean? Las Vegas.
That's what they say the Northern Lights are.
What's that, buddy?
A portal.
Oh,
they say that in that movie, The Langoliers, too, actually.
That's interesting. Another symbol we see connected to the Merovingian bloodline, which is the 13th bloodline, is the Flor de Lis. And this is heavily connected to the Mormons. Flor de Lis is 666 matching Babylon, USA. Now, the original number 666 was not evil. It's the breakdown for carbon. But they've attached negative energy to it. But it has that match with Babylon, USA. And we see that symbol, the Flor de Lis, all over the Mormons' temple. So it all ties back to these Mormons, man. And they got the bee symbolism, too, which is heavily ingrained with the Merovingian bloodline. So, yeah, there's something going on with these Mormons, dude. They know something.
The Mormons claim to be the real Freemasons, too. They claim that Joseph Smith basically found the true secrets of Freemasonry, and that's where it all started from.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that part. That's fascinating.
They have those Freemasonic symbols on their
the underpants,
the underwears, yeah.
And the higher you go up, I found out this recently because I talked to a woman that was like a Mormon and got to the highest levels that you can get to as a woman in the Mormon Church, like all the way to the top of the temple, and she was breaking all that down for me and confirming a lot of that. That was fascinating.
Wow, I would love to hear that conversation. Do you have that on a podcast?
I can't. Yeah. I was on her podcast and it somehow turned into me interviewing her, but I'm gonna have her on my podcast soon and get into the weeds on that.
Yeah, do that, dude. I created this with AI with the eight-pointed star opening up within CERN, the Hadron Collider, you know, in that opening up an interdimensional doorway, because that's what I truly believe it is. It's this doorway they're trying to open to bring back their relatives, their descendants of these people, the people that's in nobility and, you know, what we call the elite. I don't really believe they're elite, but they do. They think they're elite. And they're descendants of what we call the Watchers or the Anunnaki or, you know, they have many different names.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, I have, we were talking about the Nibiru connection a minute ago and the original symbol for it, the X, right? And then that brought us to the Chaos Star, which is eight-pointed. So if you don't mind, I would like to share something with you that I have here, if that's
cool. Oh, yeah, no problem.
A little connection.
No problem. But ain't that cool, the connection with the eight-pointed star with all the superheroes, Jay? I thought you'd be proud of me for figuring all that shit out.
Yes, very good. And also, check out the Helm of Awe.
Huh?
Oh, sorry, I was just saying, also check out the Helm of Awe in the Norse religions and mythologies and stuff. It's also similar, too.
Oh, okay.
You know where they get Wonder Woman, the story of Wonder Woman from?
Where?
It was a race of women, Amazon women, before California was butted up against the United States. California used to be an island, and it was a race of women that lived on this island that were Amazon warriors.
I know that part.
That's the same story as Wonder Woman.
It's kind of, if you look on the flat Earth map, Amazon is kind of like right next to freaking Asgard. Where Asgard is out there, but on this map it's called Odin, but on other maps it's called Asgard. And then the Amazon is like right over here. Or right over here, I forget. It's right next to where that is, and that's on the outside of the ice wall. And then there's another wall surrounding out there. It's on the outside of like that. So it's way out there. There's all this extra land that we are not privy to. And think about it. Admiral Byrd, he talked about this, man. You know, he talked about when he was going down to Antarctica, running into barriers that looked invisible and his planes were crashing and there was UFOs coming out of the ice, blowing his jets down, which that was some technology they got from some type of entity that the German soldiers, the name I will not say, they were working with them.
My bad.
Some people say it's reptilians or, oh, you're fine, Jay. I know you didn't mean to. Yeah, I get in trouble anytime I mention them, dude. Donut showed their old symbol the other day when we were on a podcast.
Oh, wow. Well. So, like, hey, check this out. I want to show you something that's related to that symbol, too, actually.
I'm like, Donut, please
don't. I got it pulled up if you want to approve it real quick.
Oh, okay. I know it's connected to Polaris.
All right, so check this out. Nibiru, boom. It's known as the planet of the crossing, right? This is the North Pole map, one of many. Okay, I just picked this one because it stands out. Equal. So we've got the cross right here, right? Well, first we have a circle. This entire island is the ancient Hebrew letter Tet, which is a circle with an X going through it. This is the symbol, the ancient symbol for the Garden of Eden, basically. The four lands, right? The four rivers, etc. And directly above this, now let's just be philosophers and theorize, right? Because this is, I've been working on this whole thing for a long time. So if you don't understand, then just, you know, suppose. So this is our world. This is just a crude drawing of the world. This is just the flat land on the bottom down here. This at the bottom is that island that I just drew with the crude Mount Meru in the middle. And then you could see, you know, the four rivers. You see that?
Yes.
At the bottom. All right, and then this is the firmament extending outward and above with an inverted dome at the apex, facing back down at us. This would be the eye in the sky whenever it's visible, okay? And it would turn red, etc., because there's all this red plasma filaments behind it. But anyways, so if the firmament, let's just suppose and say that it were made out of a natural substance like ice, as I suppose that it is, or even any reflective surface, this right here, this eye in the sky, or eventually it will become a portal, and this will blow out, creating the iris in the middle. If it is reflective at all, it will reflect back just like how these mirrors at the store do that have security cameras in them. And it will, the reflection on top of it will be a mirror image of this underneath it, which is directly below it at the North Pole, which means that it would have a cross on it. You would see a cross or whatever. This is a terrible drawing, but you get my point, right? So when people look up at the sky, they'll see this red planet or this red circular object that's up there that has a cross on it. Now, interestingly enough, in the Anglo-Saxon chronicles, their histories, they talk about periods of time when they saw strange lights and wonderful serpents and all these weird lights that were happening in the sky, from beams of light that shot up into the sky to, you know, serpents that flew across into the air or whatever. They also talked about how they saw a cross in the moon. Now this Mount Meru down here, I'm making a mess of it, but Mount Meru, which I'm circling right now, also is affectionately known as the Mountain of the Moon, because this up here acts as the actual physical moon at the top, this inverted dome. And it would have a cross on it if it was reflecting what is directly below it. And it also acts as a projector. When the heavenly light passes through the firmament, it projects outwards, casting, a reflection above or whatever, that would also have its little craters or domes or whatever up, whatever's up there. You know what I mean? So that's why it's the Mountain of the Moon, because it may be responsible for actually creating the plasma hologram up there in the sky that we call the moon. But the moon that moves around is not the moon.
You can't land on, right?
What's that?
You can't land on it.
Not on this one over here, but on the physical inverted dome of the firmament, yes, you could. And it's the actual physical origin of the moon, which we see its image inverted and upside down over here in the sky. This right here is... this is where the, hold on, let me get a different color. This is where the angels fall. This is the landing place. This is our world's landing place right here, which is,
you know, whenever it blows out. That then? Do you think NASA landed on that?
Up here on the firmament? No, I don't. But anyway, so check this out. When the firmament blows open and creatures here can leave and go up, or, you know, travelers from above can come down, they land on the Mountain of the Moon, which is in Hebrew, Har for mountain and Mon for world or moon. Har Mon.
That's the portal in the sky that opens up.
Yeah, up here it is.
To talk about, yeah.
Anyways, all right, let me give this back to you here.
Yeah, no, I'm looking into this this new lady too. She's like got all these crazy theories that we were, the world was around 250,000 or 250 million years ago. And they blew up the Stargate 11. And that's what they created, this fake time matrix within the organic matrix that was created. And that these like reptilian type entities, they're called Omniacron reptilians, like the variant of Rona, Omniacron reptilians. And they're the ones that are harvesting everyone's energy. And there was all these different Stargates. There's an Elohim race, all these different races. It's very fascinating.
They tend to have regenerative properties too, just like reptilians.
Yeah, that's very... I like all that stuff to learn about it. Even though if I don't agree with everything, I still listen open-mindedly. I can't stand people that just want to hear the same shit, bro. Like, they want to be in an echo chamber.
Well, they're used to living in loops, you know what I mean? So that's naturally what they're drawn to that.
Dude, they get so triggered if they hear a video that doesn't spit their narrative. And the people that I see it the most with is the flat earth community. And I believe in that we live in an enclosed simulation. But they, dude, if you ever even mention something that goes a little bit out of the normal, they will flip out in the comments, bro.
Right. Some, not all, right?
Not all, no, not all, but some. It's huge. I mean, there's the people in the spinning ball community that flip too.
Well, I feel like that's kind of our fault collectively as humanity. This is how we have conditioned ourselves. So we're so used to a certain way of living, for example, these and vortexes that we get caught in, that we what do they say? Like, dig your way out of one hole just to fall into another or something like that. So people's minds are blown by some new truth or idea or theory or perspective or whatever. And because their minds are blown, they've been taught ultimatums. They've been taught in absolutes and empirical evidence and planting your flag and staying there instead of growing and continuously adapting and taking in everything along our path, right? So they plant their flag. That's what they're just conditioned to do. They take their new truth and they're like, I now have found the truth. And they stick it in the ground all hard. Oh, and they're like, this is the truth. Get off my land.
Yeah. Like me, I'm down to listen. I'll absorb anything. And you know, if you make some things, I change my mind because it makes more sense. So I'm always willing to grow and really willing to reevaluate what my opinion is if you present me with the proper information.
I'm just surfing my wave, bro. You know what I mean? Like, that's, I just got my wave and I'm riding it and I'm going to enjoy the ride. And if there's others on the wave, you know, we have a good time together.
Yep.
If not, others wait for their wave.
Nothing more we can do here, but. Well, before we go today, guys, I got a little real quick promotion I got to do really fast. And make sure you guys go over and check out Jay Dreamer's YouTube. He has a phenomenal YouTube channel where he does a bunch of cool stuff over there. He's got his memberships over there. He's got his website. What's your website, Jay? JayDreamers.com?
Yep, jdreamers.com. And I started plugging all the little plasma apocalypse survival gear that I'm starting to sell now, too.
Oh yeah. He's got
Thank
some
you
cool
for
stuff.
Helping me out with motivating me to help to, like, you know, express my value to the people. I appreciate you.
No problem. So you guys know I got truthmafia.com. That's where I got people like Paranoid Americans channel, my channel, Aniasoru, AI News, B Dell, Broach Sanchez is over here now. Shout out to Bro Sanchez. Jay Dreams, Donut Factory, the whole crew's over here. That Gigi Young girl I told you guys, which she has some fascinating stuff, guys. I'm telling you right now, come watch her video about Mars and this it's like a timeline that has been destroyed. It's so fascinating. This is one that I did. I wrote a blog to it that she did too. So there's a couple good ones. Her Lemurian epoch is freaking amazing too, but she has some really good stuff over here. So I have that site. That's my big site where I do my blogs and put my videos up, but I have truthfultv.com, and this is where I do all my bookings. This is where we got the alternative social media platform where people can share information with like-minded people. So you'll see, you know, Julie's over here, all people that have been following me for a long time. You got 1,700 people in Truthful TV. You got another 1,481 in Truthbook. And then you got like 179 in our private members only one. But people just share links with each other, pictures, blogs, stuff like that. So on this page, if you go back to the front, guys, you'll see down here, there's a video that walks you through the process if you want to get a reading, how to check out, and stuff like that. that. And right here, we do the dream interpretations. I've read so many books on this. I'm getting so good. And you sent me your dream in as much detail as you can. And then within 24 hours, I send you back a full breakdown on it with an image I create based on your dream. So it kind of depicts what you've seen. And I use AI to do this. And then the reading, it's pretty cool. I love doing it. I'm going to actually, this one girl said I could share hers because hers was so crazy, dude. She keeps meeting this entity in the basement.
I think more people should be sharing their dreams.
Yeah, I love it.
I'm curious to hear from you. Like, if once you start doing the dream interpretations, like, you know, in the hundreds or whatever, I'd like to pick your brain to see how many of those, how similar they are, and how many are apocalyptic in nature. You know what I mean?
A lot.
Because there's prophecies that say we'll all start dreaming the same thing the closer we get to that point.
Well, I've done over 2,000 readings already, Jay, 2,000 readings, and I've done about 150 dream interpretations. So I would say I'll have to go look through my stats, but I would say that probably a high 70 percentile are leaning towards some type of apocalyptic event. That's what a lot of people are dreaming about right now. It's very strange. So it's funny you mentioned that. But if you want to get a reading, learn if you're one of these first player characters or one of these NPCs, you come over here, check availability. Right now there's openings pretty quick. Sometimes we're booked for a month out. Hit next. You pick your time you want it. And the day of your reading, I start your reading that day and I get it back to you within 4 to 7 days. It was taking me about 10 before the holidays and when I was moving, but now I've got it going between 4 and 7 days. I get to, because it's a very detailed reading. We cover your life path number, your birth cards, your destiny cards, what that means for you. Then we go over your gematria, you know, tell you whether you're one of these NPCs or if you have this very rare Neo code. We got a bunch of different things. It's pretty cool. So what you do is put your name in there, the name you were born with, your email, the phone number. That's just if I need to contact you or something. I usually don't, but because it's all done via email. Then the most important thing you can't forget, down here is a box where you put your birth date, born time if you know it, and of course the first and last name. Put that in the box again too. Just so I have it down there, because some people use a different name that they sign in. And you want to use your maiden name, and then you'll just hit book now. So like if you're a married woman, use the name you were born with. I don't need both your names. I don't need your middle name. I just need your first and last that you was born with.
Hey guys.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want
to. Hold on. Let me finish this real quick, brother. And then you can say whatever you got to say, because I'm almost done. 1 second. So then when you get over here, guys, you just put your address in. And the only reason you're putting this in here is because you're doing a secure checkout through PayPal. You don't have to have a PayPal account, but they want to make sure your card isn't stolen. So it has to match up the address that you're using. And then you just click to check out. See where it says pay with debit card there. Hit that. Put your email in again. Continue the payment. And continue as guest. That simple. Like I said, the video on the front is walking you through that. And then also, hold on, Dom, I'll let you say whatever you got to in 1 second, brother. And then we got our store over here, guys, where we got pyramids that block the negative energy. We got stones that are blocking black magic attacks, psychic attacks. All kinds of amazing stuff. The obsidian, the Aztecs and Mayans used it. It's a grounding stone as well. So, you know, we got some really cool stuff. I love this blue one. That one, it's a very powerful stone, though. It's really not for beginners. And if you get a crystal, a lot of people don't know this, you got to charge it up in a full moon. So that's how you keep it powered up. But this stone here, I can never pronounce, the Lapis Lazuli. The blue stone, that's very powerful against black magic and psychic attacks. It also activates certain chakra points. But yeah, that all that stuff's over here, guys. amazing products, and use promo code SALE17, and then you get free shipping. You know, you don't have to pay extra for the shipping. You get the free shipping right now, probably until the new year. I'll continue to run that. And if you are getting a decode for the reading, you're going to use promo code Decode the Matrix, all one word. The reading's $26. You'll get an extra 11% off with that. So there you go. There's the plugin. All links are in the description, and that's on truthfultv.com. What do you got, Dom? And then I'll plug Paranoid before we end.
You know, I got to figure out how I'm going to word this, so I need y'all to read in between the lines. So, you know, the pillowcases, the white pillowcases.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. The guys that like that one particular letter of the alphabet a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, funny thing is that they stole that.
Who'd they steal it from?
It was stolen from the Seville Negro Order that was put together by a king in Spain.
Well, Spain uses them at their church. They have black ones that look just like the K, you know, that used
the three. They were established in 1393.
Yeah, so they wear it. It's all black, though, but they wear them same stupid hats that look like, what, a dunce hat or whatever. The same stupid hats. That it actually comes from the Spanish church. That's true.
You know, the dunce hat, they put that on them to make them smarter. It wasn't supposed to imply stupidity. It's supposed to imply genius, actually.
Well, when I see you wear it, I think you're dumb as shit. So.
Well, wizards wear them.
Wizards wear them.
One of the words that I will never, ever use again is the word nice.
Why?
Because the Latin translation or thing for nice literally means stupid, not educated, dumb, not intelligent. Like, those are all the definitions for the word nice in Latin.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's,
yeah, so when people running around talking about, oh, I'm nice at this, you're telling everybody that you're really dumb and not intelligent at whatever it is that you're trying to say. Because, like we always say, the English language is a form of spell casting. Because when they came, the Europeans, they brought their language, and you go and understand that their language is only prefixes or suffixes, meaning taking another word and making it a completely different word based off of the initial meaning of the first word. That's how we got three different ways to say the word see. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, like blessed, telling someone you're blessed is be less. So the site is called truthfultv.com. I put a link in the comments there. It, if you want to get to the reading page, it's just truthfultv.com. And then that one's for the shop. So I seen someone ask that. But yeah, if you say you're blessed, right? Which it's like belittling someone or the whole language. Jordan Maxwell broke this down. And shout out Jordan Maxwell. He was an OG. I think like Donut embodied this spirit of Jordan Maxwell.
Yeah, blessed originally was blood, and it meant to be covered in blood, or specifically a holy substance, but typically it would be the blood of God. And it meant to be covered in blood or anointed. So they would actually say blood, but it turned into bless.
Yeah, it's very fascinating how they tricked us with all that. You know what I mean? It's very fascinating. And guys, don't forget my boy Paranoid American. His links are down in the description as well. And so is Dom's links to his TikTok, where he's going to be teaching all this stuff at. I put Paranoid American's link right there. And
go check out me and Paranoid's video we did together where he interviewed me. That was fun.
Oh, yeah, he did that.
We got some more coming, too.
Yeah,
caught
me off guard.
Well, no, you guys did a good job. I liked it. I thought you guys did phenomenal. And real quick before we finish, check out some of Paranoid Stickers, guys. He made this little video.
And all American stickers, cryptids, cults, and killers. Killers. We got all your favorite conspiracies. All that and more on a sticker sheets. Paranoid American stickers. They'll make you smile and snicker. False flags and secret societies. All of these and more on a sticker sheet.
Explore the unique with Paranoid American Sticker Sheets. Unearth tales of cryptids, cults, and mysteries through each sticker. These won't last long. Get yours now at ParanoidAmerican.com.
And all American stickers, cryptids, cults, and killers, killers. We got all your favorite conspiracies. All that happened and more on our sticker sheets. Paranoid American stickers. They'll make you smile and snicker. False flags and secret societies. All of these and more on our sticker sheets.
What the heck are you waiting for? Discover the extraordinary with Paranoid American Sticker Sheets. From cryptids in the night to cults out of sight, each sticker is a unique find. Get yours now at Paranoid.
No, that was it. Oh, that was the coolest sticker freaking commercial ever. I
know.
Love
I got
to
get him to make me one, dude. He's so.
That's the coolest.
Yeah, I'll do both of you guys. I'll commit to it right now. I'll do both of you guys commercials.
Dang, that was so cool, bro. I'm all hyped up now watching that.
I seen Jay back here because I could see Jay's video while I'm watching the sticker. I'm bobbing and shit. Jay's bobbing his head, paranoid.
I was rocking out. Yes.
Yeah, guys. It's that was a good one, right? I liked it. Paranoid sticker.
Yeah. Yep. Did you write that?
What goes into that, man? It's even though it's AI generated, it takes a long time to get it just right.
Yep. And that's on ParanoidAmerican.com, guys. He has books over here.
Hey, give me a copy and I'll promote it on my channel too.
Yeah, 100%.
It's so
hey,
cool.
And Tommy, can you show my screen really quick too? I'll give a preview of something that I haven't so shown cool. yet.
Yeah, yes, of course I will.
You got this
real quick, before I do that, guys, this is Dom's TikTok channel where he'll be, you know, he just started it. So he's going to be doing a lot of his stuff over there. So go check it out. You can follow Dom. Like I said, he's been following me since the beginning. And it's Dominic Jefferson on TikTok. And that link is in the description. I'll also throw it in the comments real quick. Before I get paranoid, the screen. Let me stop present. Okay, I'll throw this in the comments. And thank you guys, because we are viewer funded. So thanks to people like you, people like me, Jay, Paranoid American, are able to do what we love for a living because you guys support us and help us. So we appreciate that a lot. We really do. All right, Paranoid, what do you got for us, brother?
It's just a preview. You won't be able to see this yourselves. I can only see this because I'm logged in as an admin. But this is the official. That's coming. But this is the first game that I've been working on for a couple years. It'll be on Steam very soon in the next month.
It's amazing. I've seen it. I've seen like the. Remember, you showed me everything on it.
Yeah, I showed you a working demo and everything. Like it's a detailed game, and the whole reason it exists is because I came across. Fire. This research about the original Satanist in America, or at least a very early version in the 1930s. And it was such a deep story that I couldn't really convey it the right way over just like a comic book. And it went way, way deeper than that. So this game dives like way deep into that research. And it's called, Lucifer Lives in Lower Manhattan. It's a literal, title based on my research.
Pre-AI. None of the images are created.
Yeah, this is pre-AI, not saying that if I had to redo it, I wouldn't have used a little bit, but none of this here is AI generated of any kind.
Well, I would have used
because
all
this
AI,
was started years ago.
You had to pay for that to be, if I was you, I would use all AI. There's nothing wrong with using it. There's this one guy, he used it on my Instagram, and he pretends that it's not AI, and that pisses me off. Because he's like, I'm designing these shoes. And then someone caught him the other day, paranoid, because he showed a thing of they're like earthing shoes. And the freaking guy with his foot in the shoe has six toes. I said, dude, you used AI, bro. Come on. that's a clear indication the AI messes up on feet and toes sometimes. It'll put them as six, which...
Yeah, just be honest about it, or at least, like... Yeah, yeah. Or at least be so over the top, like the Epstein Island game, right? Like Epstein's Quest. Like, it looked real enough on some of those shots that people were calling it out, but I love that, because...
Can you show that?
Be like, oh, this is like PS2 graphics. Like, actually, you're right. It kind of is like PS2. I kind of screwed that up.
Show that up, bro. Show that game if you get... Because, look, I put this on my Instagram, and it went kind of viral. And people are like, oh, why are you trolling? But, like, anyone that knows me clearly knows I was fucking trolling, and I'm just playing around. But I'm like, hey, guys, do you remember this Epstein game from 1997? Because that's what Paranoid said when he shared it. So I was just trying to show him some love and tag him, and I didn't expect it to get as many views as it did. It went, like, dumb viral on my shit. Everyone,
I'll post you a link right now in the private chat to the commercial. If you want to put it on your StreamYard and play us out with it.
Okay, I will. I'll play us out with it. And there's that audio on that you own, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. There's none of it's copyrighted or anything. Everyone can use it for whatever they want. Free for the world. I want the intent to address some of the criticism. Like I know it's not a real game. Maybe I'll make it a real game, but I don't feel like I'm making light of it. I think that I'm keeping it in the public consciousness in a way that doesn't make people want to forget it, because it comes up and either people zone out or it turns into a political thing. And this is just a different way to keep it in a different type of the consciousness.
No, I'm all for it, dude. So let's use this to, let me decline that bullshit. Play this out.
Oh, your audio's not on.
Oh, yeah. Let me turn my. I gotta.
Love the intro already.
Download it and load it right into the
stream. It's so cool, dude. It's so cool. I'm just gonna download it.
Yeah, it should be able to load right into StreamYard. I'm making all my videos so they load in a StreamYard now, so anyone can use them if they want.
That's smart, dude. Yeah, because I mean, I want to have this in the StreamYard so we can play it a little. Dude, we gotta make this game Paranoid. Because it's too cool, dude. And like you said, it's bringing attention to it. Because, you know, they want us to forget about Epstein. They pray to God we don't remember this, guys. You know what I mean? And this just makes it...
Is that dude still alive?
Yeah, of course. You
know. I don't know, dude. I don't know. I assumed that he wouldn't be after a hot thing I heard.
The official story was that he put himself to bed permanently while he was in jail, but it was only when the security cameras went out and both the security guards fell asleep, and like the stars were aligned.
It's basically a GTA quest.
He hung himself after everybody was sleeping. Like, come on, dude. He's that. But there's been videos surfacing. One went viral. But I really don't think that was him, but it looked a lot like him, though. He was at some party in the Middle East. It did look like him, but I watched it like 100 times, and I think he was too skinny to be Epstein, but he's definitely with Glassine on a beach somewhere sipping margaritas. I don't think either one of them went to jail ever, honestly. I don't, dude. I don't believe none of that. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, just like his spot got blown up so much that the only way that he could take the heat off would be to just, you know, remove himself from the equation, which is kind of what happened.
That was smart. Yeah, that's exactly what he did. And, you know, we still haven't got to hear any of the evidence. Like with Maxine's case, they sealed everything, and it just is annoying, dude. It's so annoying how they pull that.
Have you heard seen that latest video that's been swirling around about Epstein and Maxine being working for? I gotta figure out how to word this. But what's going on right now in the Middle East?
Working for Mossad?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I knew her dad did. Her dad was believed to be killed by.
And that was the whole. That was the whole purpose, supposedly, of the whole island, was to get them there and get them caught on tape. for them to do that.
Yeah, and trapping. They do that.
Yeah, now they under the thumb of what's going on over there in the Middle East. That's why he was so quick to jump up and was like, "We're with such and such."
Yeah, yeah, because they own blackmail on almost every country in the world. And then if you don't get down, if you tell them to go F theirself like the Haitian president did, well, guess what? You die. Or the South American president, what was his name? The one that died of that advanced cancer. And, you know.
Fidel Castro.
No, not Fidel.
Carlos Castaneda.
No, he was from Venezuela. Venezuela president.
Gaddafi,
they came over the world. This guy is from South America, Venezuela. Anyways, Fidel had told the guy that he was going to die. He's like, bro, I'm telling you right now, because he was talking about America spraying chemtrails and all kinds of shit. And remember, that's what Kodak Black said right before he his name was Chavez. Hugo Chavez was who I'm talking about. And shout out to my boy right there. This dude's channel is the shit too, guys. Go check him out. He has a YouTube channel. He's phenomenal. We put him up on truthmafia.com, and he's a Christian brother, but he does some really awesome work. When I originally found his work, he was breaking down CERN, and it was so phenomenal. The research he did on CERN, I fell in love with his work, but this dude's awesome. So yeah, check him out. Hugo Chavez. So Hugo Chavez, they told, and bro, hit me up. You hit me up on my email. I'd love to talk to you. TruthfulTV@proton.me. Hugo Chavez was told by Fidel that America was going to hit him, and he was buying like some luxurious boxers out of California. And then he gets what's that cancer called by your groin?
Ball cancer.
Well, there's testicular and there's prostate.
I forget which one. It was one of them. He got some type of advanced cancer, man, and died like really fast. And all these seven other South American presidents die back to back. And this is right after Hillary Clinton gathered up the DNA on all the African presidents and all the South American presidents. And the next thing you know, this is a couple years before COVID hits, right? All these presidents start dying, blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking there were people that wasn't going to get on board with their little Mark of the Beast situation they got going on. So, yeah, I think he had testicular, but it could have been colon. I'm not really sure. But, yeah, no problem, brother. I appreciate your work. You do phenomenal work, man. So thank you guys for watching us. We love you. You know, did anybody got anything they want to plug before we go? I think we did all that, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah,
nice meeting you, Dom.
Yep. Nice. Thanks, guys. Too, we're out. Hit them like buttons.